was in such numbers or as often as we do now.
Well, what I think was the people would order their things from the grocer each time when he delivered, and he delivered probably once a week. I remember Crandall's.
Can you tell me some of the names?
Yeah,
of
Crandall's. The Crandall's store was where the present savings bank is, next to the
The Westboro Savings.
Yeah,
the uptown.
Mm-hmm. The only one in my
book. That was
book.
In the old post office block.
Yes. Well, the post office block, I think, might be a little bit closer to town.
Like Golden's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in Crandall's, it was a real old-fashioned store. I remember the pickle barrel and going in and getting a gallon of kerosene and putting a potato at the end, on the end of the spout and so forth, because this Ella McKean that I used to go shopping with, sometimes she'd have to get maybe a gallon of kerosene to bring home because they were short of it at home. And they also sold crackers in a barrel.
In a barrel, like that.
You know, and salt pork, and all sorts of other groceries.
The staples, like you would buy 100 pounds of flour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a barrel of flour.
A barrel of flour.
And I have come across bills that we had at home for a barrel of flour from Crandall's.
Uh-huh.
And so much molasses and so many pounds of sugar. And
could you get fruits? I mean, like oranges?
No,
or apples?
The way we got our fruits was there was a Stanley, but the banana man used to come to town. And Stanley, he'd be singing out any fresh fruit today and so forth, even up in the country. Well, I suppose when you went by a house and you could buy, you bought the bananas by a
horse
by
and
hand.
Cart.
It was a horse and cart, yeah. You bought the bananas by hand, you know.
Yes, Sony. I've heard them use that expression.
And then you could. There were a few oranges, and never grapefruit. But he had quite a few things, but bananas, I think, was one of the ones that I remember.
His staples would work.
Yes, oranges we only got about Christmas time anyway. They were a delicacy.
But we did have apple orchards.
Apple orchards, yes.
As we do
today.
Yes,
we had apples, a lot of them. I can remember them coming in and getting 20 barrels of apples, you know, in the winter from our cellar. And a lot of them were sent to town, to the cities. And probably, I suppose they came in with a big... It's funny, you don't remember what they came with. Nowadays you just take for granted it was a truck, but it probably wasn't a truck in those days. It was probably a horse.
A cart.
And
it's like a dump cart because they could tip it up. And
They
wouldn't
and
do that with the apples, though.
No. And
what about your dry goods? I mean, like making clothes buying clothes?
We bought a material by the yard, and we bought either Sanford's or... There was a few...
Where was Sanford's?
Sanford's is where Golden's is now. Mm-hmm. And then there was Miss Gale, who had a store where on Milk Street, the other corner, that other dry goods store on the corner next to Lord's. I forgot
where the
Hudson
Shop is? Hudson
Shop is. Miss Gale belonged to the Episcopal Church and had a very nice store, quite similar to Sanford's. Those are the two... dry goods stores, and that's where you bought, you know, yard goods. And I couldn't imagine, I can't remember what the price would be, but probably about 15 cents a yard would be a good price, probably.
Did you have someone who would come in and make the clothes, or your mother made the clothes? You didn't go
mother,
into Worcester
my,
and buy them?
You would go to Worcester. When I was in school, my sister was working, and she would buy ferrous waste in McGinnis's and stockings in another special store. And my father would be going to Bessie Bryant's, which is where Sherwin's used to be and where American Supply is now in Worcester, to buy a suit of clothes. and overalls and so forth. Well, yes, I guess the overalls he bought there too. Yes, he did. And
rather than Sanford's or
yeah, Sanford's wouldn't have any of those sort of
wouldn't
things.
Have anything made up.
No, I don't believe they had a thing made up.
No,
you know, at least I wasn't buying anything that was made up. We didn't have the money.
Well, do you think the Depression was anything that you remember?
Oh, the Depression's after that, you see. So
yes, that was
I remember the Depression, but before I get to that, I want to tell you that on Milk Street, where the hardware store is now, Gannon, Tim Gannon, who was, maybe it was John Gannon, but anyway, it would be an uncle, I guess, of Gannon, who was on our finance board.
Yes.
Had a store where he sold butter and all sorts of things
eggs?
Like that. Maybe eggs, but mostly 5-pound round wooden containers with butter in it, butter, and maybe 5 pounds of butter. And
do you have any recollection of what it would cost?
No, I don't, but I know later we made butter at home, and my father sold it in Worcester, and I remember it was 40 cents a pound that he got, and that would be, my father died in 1930, so it would be before the Depression, and it would be probably the last 5 or 10 years of his life, probably, that we had, he had an egg root, and he also sold homemade butter.
But do you think the Depression made any difference in the town of Westboro?
Oh yes, it did, because the people didn't have the money, and I think the upkeep of a lot of houses suffered because people didn't have the money to paint and so forth. But after things got a little bit better in 1939, 40, and 41,
they began to spruce it up again.
Mm-hmm. And you could see that there were a lot of people. And then there was some of the people, food was given out. I don't know where it was given out because I don't know anything about that, but I know commodities like beans and oatmeal and I think salt pork, I'm not sure, but different products like that were given out to people.
Some of the staples that people would need, who were sort of like welfare.
It was a form of welfare. And then, of course, in town they had the WPA and the PWA, and one of the things they did was perhaps cut down trees and orchards that were, the orchards were going bad, and the trees needed to be pruned and so forth, or they would be cutting trees along the side of the road, or building sidewalks, I think they did in Westboro. But we didn't have the foresight to extend sewers and more sidewalks in those days, which is, too bad that we didn't take the initial step, and maybe that's something that we should be doing right now with the way so much
thinking ahead. Well, that was one of my questions I wanted to ask you. If you could tell me your feeling about some of the differences in the town meetings of today as when you first, you've always been interested in town affairs.
I've always been interested in town affairs. Of course, I didn't go to town meetings much until after I was working. And sometimes I did go more then and sometimes I didn't on account of, on a way, depending upon the circumstances at home. But I've always been interested in town affairs, and I've always been interested in the history of Westboro. And I think we've been very fortunate. We've had a lot of people who were interested in the town and were very good citizens and stayed with the town. And we've had excellent schools. I think we had a period where the schools were not quite up to what they are now. But I think that Mr. Grindle, who went from Westboro to Lexington, was an excellent superintendent, and after Mr. Armstrong stepped right in and did a fine job. And I certainly think Mr. Kelleher is continuing on it yet. And I think I've always tried to encourage people to come to Westboro because of the schools, whether they had children or not.
Well, one of the things that we have seen through the years with the town warrants is how much it has changed from the early days when they would only have a few articles
mm-hmm.
on the warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, you know, you've seen a great change in that, though.
Yes,
you must have.
Yes. Well, you see, a lot of things were accomplished by other methods. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is they didn't have to have we didn't have to accept a street, and we didn't have to. We didn't have to. Let's see, what else would it be?
Well, there's a great deal I think more this paperwork.
Like, yeah, there's a lot more paperwork, as in everything, and people are more demanding of what they want. Now, you probably would be interested to know that the streetlights, electricity in Westboro, didn't go beyond Ward's Corner until 1923. And in 23, they extended it up our way and also up West Main Street, so it meant that everything ended. I think there was a street light there, I'm not sure about that, but I can remember when they were putting the poles in to extend it. But of course, before that time, Mr. Nurse happened to have electricity because he had his own generator.
For his farm.
For his farm, mostly for lights, because I'm pretty sure they probably milked by hand up to 1923. And
chances are they did.
Yeah. There were no telephones except Mrs. Brown, who lived where George's lived now, had a telephone, and nurses were fortunate to have a telephone, but none of the other people had one. And around our area, Adams has had one up at Adams Street, and now. But of course, there weren't that, and McTaggart's probably had one, but there were only about a half a dozen
phones
towns. And only about a half a dozen homes really around in that area. There's been quite a few built since then.
Tell me about the old homestead you were speaking of up on, it's on K Street, and it's tucked back in there among all
the... Oh yes, I should tell you that the Stronglands built a summer home in Westboro, and they lived in New Bedford, where right down near the salt water. Mr. Strongman was in a cotton factory down there where they made material.
The cloth.
I think that's what he was. He may have been, I guess that's what he was doing. And they came to Westboro for their summers. And they live in the house on K Street that's like a chateau that's set back from K Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the original Strongman place.
And they owned all?
Oh, they owned that little land there. Weitz's were the people
the
who were Fanoffs. Mm-hmm. They owned the other side.
The lower side.
The side, yes, mm-hmm. the side, the Grafton side.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were some residents in Westboro, too.
Yes.
Mr. White was in the investment in the stocks and bonds in Boston. And lived in Brookline.
Did these people, as a general, take interest in the town, or did
they? They were good neighbors, but they didn't take any interest in the town. They paid the taxes, and that was it. Because of course, town meeting was in March, they didn't need to. I mean, the taxes were very low, and didn't amount to much really for them, really.
No.
Because I know we have tax bills, old tax bills, I've seen them, that were probably taxes of about $30 or something like that, because ours wasn't elaborate and we didn't have that much acreage. But on the other hand, the taxes were not what they are today by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And we had good town government.
Well, we still have good town government.
That's right,
yes,
that's right.
We have a good many people who work very diligently, as you say.
Yeah.
And
we've been fortunate.
Are interested and work
mm-hmm.
for the betterment of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I'd like to ask you another question which has often come up. Now we do not have Lyman School, but when the boys were there and it was they called it a correction school. Did the townspeople have much to do with the boys?
Well, they went to some of them went to school with us. In Elsie Hastings' class, we had a nice little colored boy who was from the Lyman School. I think he was out on some of the farms, and I remember us all giving him Valentines, and his giving us Valentines at Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And where Wilkinson's was, Mr. Moulton had Lyman School boys. Down East Main Street, there were Lyman School boys that all went to the public schools in Westboro. And the people in Westboro we probably set a good example for those boys.
Well, could they go to school? You said they
went to school right with us.
Westboro.
Yes, they were out in farms. They were probably the better boys, and
more trustworthy.
I don't know whether I don't believe they got anything more than their board from these farms, but they didn't have to work that hard because they went to school, and
they didn't work
any harder than the rest of us kids because we all had chores after school anyway, and.
They were part of the families.
They were part of the family. They're part of our school and part of.
You didn't ostracize them as such.
Oh no! I remember one of the girls who graduated a couple years ahead of us being very friendly with one of the Lyman School boys that was living in her area, and I know we always spoke to the boys that lived down at the Wilkinsons, and as I said, we all sent Valentines, and we thought a lot of Sammy. I've forgotten what his last name was. That was in the fifth grade, mm-hmm. and there were others that went to school with us. They worked on the farms, and
they were, as we would use a modern word, they were integrated.
They were integrated, and they were, and of course at the Lyman School they had farming, and they had they taught blacksmith.
Very practical
printing.
Things for the boys, so they could go back into, as they called it, society.
Yeah, that's right.
And be working members of the society.
That's right.
What about the churches, Marion? We have been a town that has had a long, long history of churches and churchgoers
Well, the churches have all been about the same. The Baptist Church, we had all our.
It lost its spire one time.
Oh, yeah, that's, I think that was in the hurricane of 38.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our classmates, whenever they were baptized, we all went to the Baptist Church to see that. I can remember.
Did they do it by immersion?
By immersion.
They roll back the floor?
It was on the side there. Up near the front, I remember. I haven't been in the Baptist Church real lately.
I haven't either in a long time.
And then the Congregational Church was very active, and oftentimes we had the minister's children in class with us, and we were very interested in that. And I remember when one of the classmates died in the Catholic, we all went to the Catholic Church for the funeral, and that was the old Catholic Church before. The brick one, before the brick was
the
built.
Old
before
Catholic Church burned.
Was burned, yes. Mm-hmm. And the Methodist Church, of course, where the Masons meet now, that was an active church.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't it the Grange before that?
The
Methodist Church is where the Grange meets now?
I think
Way
it was
back.
A Baptist, but I'm not sure, but I know it was an old church.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe there are. In the Unitarian Church,
too.
Beautiful. You know, we have beautiful churches in Westboro. If you just stand in front of the library there
and
look around, it really, really, especially the brick Catholic Church and the Unitarian Church together with a tree in between is really a...
The contrast to two
beautiful,
buildings.
Beautiful.
If you go up on O'Neill Drive, or you go up in back of the high school, which was the Aaronson property,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. It used to be the Bartlett place.
The Bartlett, and it was a perfectly beautiful.
And it was a beautiful old home, too.
Wasn't it?
It was a beautiful place. And I used to think it would have made a nice hospital, when I was, as a young person growing up, wondering what they should do with that beautiful place. I used to think it would be a nice hospital. But it's a nice place for the school, and I'm glad they have it there now. It's an elaborate school, but it's where people can see it. Now, the Fisher Street School was built, and only the people that live on Fisher Street ever see that junior high school, which was originally built as a high school. But, of course, I live on the West End, and I see that more.
You do a great deal of walking, Mary.
Oh, yes.
And you always have.
Yeah.
walked into town and seen it grow.
Well, from the time we were 14, we had to provide our own transportation to school, and very often I did walk. Once in a while, I used to ride with the Deerfoot, used to collect milk around the neighborhood from Adams's and Nurses, and one time from my father and from Ward Farm, and I knew most of the drivers, and sometimes I rode in the milk truck to school. And then there was one or two cars that would go from Grafton, and we knew who they were, and I would get a ride, you know, with them. But
did the bad weather, did they call school off?
No, I was thinking today, when we had the ice storm in, I don't know whether it was 1917 or 23, somewhere along there, the trolleys were not running for 2 or 3 weeks, well, because of the ice storm. See, there was no power around anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we walked to school, or we rode Mr. Nurse's pung. You know, neighbors were neighbors in those days. And we'd hop on the pung.
And you knew each other.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody knew each other. Now yes, we've grown so in Westboro. 14,000 people.
That's
there.
Right. That's right. And well, of course, our socializing was not television, or was not telephone, or it was talking personally, or.
What did you?
And we had a mailman. We had a mailman, you know.
Oh, yes, that is something we haven't talked about.
We have, and Mr. Marsh had a buggy, and we got the mail in the morning, and he delivered all over Westboro. And my brother was telling me, I hadn't realized it, but he had on the right-hand side, of course, would be the whip, where you had the buggy whip. Mm-hmm. On the left-hand side, he had a place where he put up a flag, and he got the weather service every morning before he left. I don't know just how they got it, but it must have been by, maybe by telegraph to the station, I don't know. But anyway, he put up a certain color flag for rainy weather or stormy weather, predicted or so forth, so that the people would know what kind of weather.
When he came by, you know, with the mail.
And Mr. Marsh was a great granger, and also worked part-time for the Mr. Conan, who was the undertaker in town. Mm-hmm. And when this L.F. McKean that I told you about, having the money to spend at the store, it really didn't help, because she suffered from diabetes and died when we were in school. And I remember going to the funeral and riding with Mr. Marsh on the hearse, no less, going up to the funeral was from the home. And I was probably in the sixth grade, I'm not sure, but it was a horse drawn hearse, of course. Yeah. And Mr. Marsh was the mailman. I think that that Howard Fay, that would be Carol's and
Howard's
uncle.
Peter's.
Yeah.
There was a Peter Fay, was there not?
Peter, that's B. Howard Fay. Mm-hmm. I think the first man that had a car when he was delivering. He may have started in with a horse, I'm not sure, but finally he had an automobile delivering the mail.
Do you remember anything in particular about your socials or?
Oh, we had in high school we had junior prom, of course, and a senior reception. Those were the two dances of high school, and it wasn't so much. Of course, I lived in the country, and there may have been more things that happened in the town that I wasn't in on. Mm-hmm. Because it would be a problem getting in. Of course, we had the trolleys, but then that was a financial. And we didn't do that. I mean, the kids in the suburbs, in the country,
outlying
yes. districts.
Yes, you're not in the suburbs. Really.
No, outlying districts didn't. We didn't feel as though we needed to go into town. We had lamps at night. And
mm-hmm. Your kerosene lamps.
Kerosene lamps.
Like you thought of going to the store,
old-fashioned
country store, and getting your molasses and your kerosene and cleaning the chimneys every
morning.
Oh,
yes.
The chores that you have.
And
you have a long reminiscences of Westboro and the things that have happened and the changes.
I remember a lot of people. And some people I probably ought to remember better, but I've always liked people, and you know, I'm always interested in what people do and so forth. So I suppose that's one reason why I like to remember people.
And you yourself went into Worcester to work.
I went, yes. Well, as soon as when I graduated, I intended to teach school, but there weren't that many openings, and I had two or three chances for teaching at $1,000 a year. In one in Nantucket, not in Martha's Vineyard, and one up in Vermont and somewhere else. But there were probably 8 or 10 people ready for each one of those jobs, and maybe more than that. And so I saw an ad in the paper, and I answered it and went up to Worcester and started in at $18 a week, college graduate. And but after that, they were hiring them for $15 a week, so I was quite fortunate. But of course, in my time, I've seen have seen how women have come a long ways, and it wouldn't have been so if it hadn't been the colored, the black people have set the standards. I think, I mean, they said they got a few equalities, and then it went to women, and maybe now it'll go to older people. You know, I think those are the three inequalities that we've had during and
your lifetime.
My lifetime, and people sort of taking a lot of them for granted, but I don't believe they will be able to in the future. I think that lots of times I did the work that other people, boys were doing, but since I didn't have children going to school, the secretary of our company said, "Well, you can't expect the money that so and so is getting, because you don't have to.
You don't have a family.
You don't have a family." But when I retired, I told him that I educated Dr. Gibbons' children, and I educated a whole lot of people from Westbrook who had children.
Yes, you did.
I educated their children, and I never got the extra money for it. So I got my 2 cents worth of it anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Marion. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been fun. I hope other people think it is.
Yeah, so well, I hope that will continue, and that we can do this and make this part of our history, just as our photographs and just as our some of the handwritten documents we have our Westboro Chronotype, which no longer exists.
Yes, it's too bad. That was a good paper.
So this is why we are doing this, and I thank you. Mm-hmm.